seen him trust your word in spite of the appearance of things. Lord, tonight we lift up to you in prayer Jim Daly and Miss Dawn and their family. Be with them and be gracious to them, Lord. And we just pray for your will to be done there. And for Chris, Lord, we pray for him. Dear God, that you would be with him physically. You and Jeff and Sharon and their entire family during this time of Chris's illness. And for Brother Harold and Brother
real to me and shows me His Word. And in different lights, I like to share it again. But James chapter number 4, I want to read verse number 13 down through verse number 15. And our text verse is going to be verse number 14. James chapter number 4, verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's our three verses in context. But our main verse is verse number 14. Notice, if you would, the middle of that verse, the phrase, for what is your life? What is your life? I want to take that word life, where he says, for what is your life, and do a acrostic on that word. An acrostic. And basically what an acrostic is you have a word, and each letter of that word, you can develop words that deal with, that describe that main word. And so I want to look at that word life. He says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So I want to take that word life, and I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. Four ways people live their lives. Four ways that people live their lives. Four words that describe the word life. And of course, these also are ways that people live their lives. Again, I have been repetitive, and I've alluded to this acrostic for the word life many times, but today this has certainly been on my heart. And thinking about Brother Jim Daly and others going through what they've gone through, I just felt led to share this tonight. And so as we take a look at the word life, the first way that people can live their life has to do with the letter L. And the letter L can stand for lie. It can stand for lie. Some people tonight live their lives a lie. And that's sad this evening to know that there are some who live their life not genuinely and not at face value, but they live their lives a lie. Now, they're called pretenders. They're also called actors. I remember hearing the story of an interview one day that a radio personality, someone in Hollywood, they did an interview with Eddie Murphy. And they asked Eddie Murphy, they said, Eddie, tell us how it feels being at the top. I mean, you are a millionaire, a billionaire. You're at the top. You've had all these movies. How does it feel being at the top? And Eddie Murphy said, it's lonely. There's nothing up here. And so I thought about that. And I thought about, you know, the actors that Eddie Murphy portrays on all of these movies, and just being this giddy, kind of, you know, happy-go-lucky guy. But yet, in his own personal life, there's loneliness, and there is depression even. He said, there's nothing up here. It's lonely. So, therefore, he is an actor. He's a pretender, as we're looking at the L tonight, being a lie. Some people live their lives a lie. Now, we're in James chapter number 4. Turn to the left, if you would, to James chapter number 1 for just a moment. James 1 in verse number 22. This can apply to Christians as well. James chapter number 1 in verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so James here is telling us as believers to not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And he tells us that the person who is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word is likened to a man looking in a mirror. And we know that the Bible is the mirror of God's word. But he says there is such a man who looks into this mirror and he sees those blemishes in that mirror. And he knows he has to deal with the things that he sees in that mirror. But the Bible says a person who hears the word and doesn't do the word is that person who looks in the mirror and says, man, I need to clean up. But they walk away and they forget what they saw. And so we see that this is a man who is living a lie. It's a person that's in public and they act like they have everything together. They act like they're genuine and real and sincere. But yet God has been dealing with their heart. God has been dealing with their character. And yet they are not choosing to deal with those things. But notice if you would in verse number 25. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so now he's talking about the genuine person, the person that doesn't have it all together, the person that's not perfect, but yet it is the person that looks into the pages of God's word. And they know they don't have it all together, but they want to deal with it. They want to line up with Scripture the best that they can, and so they deal with it. They line themselves up, and they do what they have to do to remove those blemishes that they see in the mirror of God's Word. And so this person is a genuine person, not a lie. They're not living a lie. So many people in our day are living lives that way. They are deceiving themselves and they're deceiving others. So tonight, as we look at one of the ways that people live their lives, it is the word lie. The L stands for lie. Let's look at the second word. Again, we are taking this idea from James 4, verse 14, for when he says, for what is your life? Some people live their lives a lie. But then some people live their lives with an if. The I can stand for the word if. Turn to John chapter number 11, if you would, for a moment. John chapter number 11. Very familiar story of Lazarus when he died. For a short while, that is. John chapter number 11, we know that in verse number 1 tells us, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. If you would, skip down to verse number 14 and 15. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples concerning Lazarus' death. He had died. Jesus stayed put. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And from this point, from this standing so far, we know that Lazarus died and Jesus was away. And he had this conversation with his disciples and said that this sickness is not unto death. And he also said this happened for your sake so that you may believe. This actually was going to be a faith strengthener in their life. So we know that whenever Jesus made his way to Martha and Mary, verse number 21, notice with me Martha's comment. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And so we see that Martha, as anybody would probably respond in such a way, did unto Jesus. She was hurting, and she felt that pain because of her brother's death. No doubt, emotionally, she was wrapped up and involved with this situation. And she had previously spent time with the Lord and everything that goes along with that, seeing his power, hearing his words. And now he wasn't present when she needed him the most. And she says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. We know the end of the story goes that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And ultimately, this was a faith strengthener. Ultimately, we know, again, that conversation Jesus had with the disciples back in verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, it would have been helpful if Mary and Martha and the family would have heard that. But you see, they were on the other side of the spectrum. They didn't know until Jesus came and raised them from the dead. A lot of people in the life that we live now, a lot of people live their life according to the if factor. Well, if this would have happened, then that wouldn't have happened. If I was where I was supposed to be, then this would have happened. If this and if that, kind of attitude that Martha had. But you know, it's kind of hard to live life according to that if factor. Because once something is done, it's done. And once something is past, it's past. So tonight, when it comes to a way, a certain way that people live their lives, it is the if factor way. Is that you tonight? Is that me? Those watching on Facebook, do you live your life according to the if factor? Now, we're all human beings, and we all struggle from time to time with faith, and we may wrestle with this concept. If this would have happened, that would not have happened. Or if this would have happened, that would have happened. And so we wrestle with it at times. But let us understand tonight and have faith, exercise our faith the best that we can in God and His Word. Because the same way that He was arranging something here, the same way that He was providentially lining things up for a faith exercise, no doubt God does that in our life. We may not understand the full story. We may not understand all of the secret ways that God works. But let us have faith tonight, whereby we may serve God acceptably. Let us believe that He's providential. Let us believe that He is powerful. And let us believe that He has a plan for our lives and those we love. So tonight we see that there's the if factor. So there's the L. And some people live their lives according to a lie. Then there's the I. Some people live their lives according to the if factor. And then there's the F tonight. And F stands for faith. It stands for faith. Hebrews 10, verse number 38, I'll just give it to you. The gist of it is this. Now the just shall live by faith. There are those who have genuinely and truly exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They belong to Him and He belongs to them. And then they set out on a new path in life. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. when we pass from death unto life, being a believer, we are on a new course. And this is the faith life. We are now comparing not worldly things with spiritual things, but we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We're trying to live our lives for Jesus. We are on the faith walk. So if I could put it that way, a walk of faith. It's a time in our life where we trust the Lord and we do not allow our perception of things on the surface to dictate our faith on the inside. But yet our faith on the inside ought to dictate our perception on the surface. We all know the story. When Peter and the disciples were in the boat. And I've always admired Peter in that story. Because it was Peter in that story, out of the other disciples, that said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water." Everybody else was scared, thinking it was a spirit or a ghost. But not Peter. Peter was in that storm. He was in that boat along with the others. And the perception seemed at first as it was a spirit. But also the perception on the surface seemed that the storm was just going to engulf all of them. But yet Peter had some kind of faith. He did not want to stay in that boat. And so he called out to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Come." And Peter stepped out of that boat, and he was walking on water. You want to know how to walk on water tonight? Exercise faith in the power of God. Exercise your faith in the pages of God, in the providence of God. Things in life at times appear on the surface as though they're going to kill us, as though they're going to take us out. Some kind of sickness or some kind of work problem or family problem. Things on the surface at times, they seem so dangerous and seems like they will take us out. But if we just live our faith outward, if we be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, and exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he'll make a way when there is no way. And so there's the F, and it stands for faith. This is the walk of faith. This is the same kind of faith that Moses had when he led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and came to the dead end, the Red Sea. And Pharaoh was on on Moses' back and almost made it to Moses. And then the Lord told Moses, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know the story. The waters were parted and they walked across the dry ground to the other side. And then the Lord enclosed Pharaoh's army against Moses and the children of Israel. What a blessing tonight. What a blessing tonight to know that God will make a way when there is no way. The perception of Pharaoh on the tail of Moses seemed bleak. It seemed like Moses was going down. Maybe even in that moment within Moses, he was struggling. "Well, Lord, did you really call me? I'm at a dead end. Lord, did you really want me to lead your people out of Egypt? We're at a dead end." Oh, yeah, he called them. He was working in the heart and the mind of Moses to get him to trust God, even in times that are so turbulent. Wanted him to stand still and trust the Lord, and he did. He said, "Moses, lift that rod up." And he lifted that rod up, and those waters parted. And they all made it across the dry ground, through dry ground, on dry ground. What is it in your life today that you need to trust God for? What is it today in your life that seems like a dead end? What is it today, those watching on Facebook, what is it today that you seem like that there's just no way out? It's not going to be a good report. The job's not going to come through. The family's not going to get back together. What I say to you this evening is this: trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust Him with all of your heart. And lean not, as Proverbs says, unto your own understanding. Again, I like what Charles Stanley says. I say it often. He used to say, "Trust God and leave all the consequences up to Him." Sounds good, doesn't it? That's the answer tonight. Trust in God and leave all the consequences up to Him. And so there's the F, and it stands for faith. lastly tonight, there's the E, which stands for empty. Some people live their life a lie. Some people live their life according to that if. Some people live their life, and this ought to be all of our desire according to faith. But then some people live their life empty. Ruth chapter number 1 for a moment. Ruth chapter number 1. It's sad to live a life that's empty, always trying to get it filled by the wrong things. But even as a believer at times, if we're not careful, we can be dry and we can be empty and we can be in the need of a refill, but be refilling somewhere else. The Old Testament book of Ruth, I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter 1 that we have Naomi and her family leaving Bethlehem. And they were going to Moab because there was a drought in Bethlehem. Listen to verse 1, Ruth 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyard. I'm sorry, I was reading back in another book. Country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. I want to stop there for a moment. Notice, if you would, the word sojourn here. He says, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. The word sojourn has to do through the idea of a temporary. Okay, just start over. The wheels fell off. The word sojourn has to do with something being temporary. Temporary. And so it wasn't in the mind of Naomi and her husband, wasn't in their minds that it was going to be a permanent place, but just a temporary place. They were just going to sojourn, pull to the side for a while. Verse 2, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratitus of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So here they are in Moab, having come from Bethlehem. Bethlehem is known as the house of bread, the other name for it, because there was a drought. There was no bread in Bethlehem. They came here to Moab temporarily. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Wait a minute. That wasn't part of the plan. Under Elimelech's leadership, it was just going to be a sojourn there, just until things picked back up at home. And Moab, being a place also known as God's washpot, this very, very evil and bitter place. And so now they were there a while, and Elimelech died. The leader who led them there died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. That was a good thing that came out of this. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So now she heard there's bread back in Bethlehem. But all the while she has lost her husband in Moab. She lost her two children in Moab, and now she's getting ready to go back to be in Bethlehem. Verse number 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. What a sad time. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Verse 11, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Skip down, if you would, to verse number 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Orpha stayed in Moab, but Ruth clave unto Naomi. And they went back to Bethlehem. Look at verse number 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? What I'm saying tonight is simply this: there are some who are empty. Sometimes it may be of circumstances like this where the situation just got out of control and it wasn't supposed to happen, but it did. Other times it may have may be because of deliberate sin or something going on in their lives where they're choosing not to fill up on Jesus, but other things. Nonetheless, Naomi found herself empty. She came back from Moab. She came back from Moab, just herself and her daughter-in-law. What a rough time it was that was supposed to only be temporary in Moab. Tonight, let us glean from this that let us fill up on the Lord. Not that Naomi didn't do that, but the principle is here. We are people who are prone to get empty fast. We are people who are prone to leak spiritually, and we need to be filled up again and again and again. Tonight we see that there are some who just live their lives empty. There are some tonight who know they need to be in church, but they're not. There are some tonight who may be at the bars that, who knows, may have been in church this morning. We never know. What is that, Brother Justin? That someone trying to drink from another fountain that's supposed to be drinking from God's fountain. It'll never work. It'll never happen. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James says. We're either going to hold to the one and hate the other. So tonight, let us cling to Jesus as Ruth did to Naomi. Ruth said, I'm going with you, Naomi. I'm going with you. I don't know about Orpha, but I'm cleaving to you. I'm going with you back to Bethlehem. Tonight, we see that there is a life to live. The question is, what kind of life are you living? Is it a lie? Is it according to the if factor? Is it empty? Or is it faith? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and you know Jesus? And if so, not saying that life won't have its turbulent times, but we have somebody with us to direct us and fill us and to help us look at that person in the mirror and want to change day by day. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for the things that you do. Lord, just another reminder about life. And Lord, how short life is. And how, Lord, we need to continue on the faith walk. Not that we could ever just turn away and live happily ever after, but Lord, we belong to you. Father, help us during these troublesome times to exercise faith in you. Help us, Lord, not to drink from other fountains. Help us, Lord, to not doubt your ways. Help us, Lord, to be genuine and forthright. Not that we're perfect, but Lord, we want to be. And Father, tonight, if there's anybody here in person, if there's anybody online that needs to do business with you, that needs to get born again or just come back to the cross, let it be, Lord. Let it be. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.